Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Lord loves all of his children so much. The Lord, he's doing everything possible to get our attention. Save us, help us grow, help us become like the five wise virgins. Jesus represented the Father, and the Father raised up Jesus from the dead, giving us full victory over death, hell, and the grave, causing us to be just as Jesus was on this earth, so are we. As we represent him. The way the spirit world works, whatever you project, that's what type of spirit you are. After they left the Mount of Transfiguration, James and John, they asked Jesus, did he want them to call fire down out of heaven and burn up the Samaritans? Because they didn't receive Jesus that time. Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of. And then, even the Holy Spirit, in Isaiah 11, it was talking about what would happen for Jesus. How that the Holy Spirit will come, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. And you know, each portrayal of the Spirit, the way it's worded, how I read it, so I don't mess that up. Isaiah 11, it says in that verse 1, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, Jesus Christ. He was in the lineage of David, and Jesse was his father. Then it says, verse 2, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. See that? The Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of wisdom. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. And the Spirit of the Lord is going to manifest himself as the Spirit of wisdom, 2, and the Spirit of understanding, 3, the Spirit of counsel, 4, Spirit of might, 5, the Spirit of knowledge, 6, and of the fear of the Lord, 7. So, let's count them. The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord. That's 7 manifestations of the Spirit of the Lord. So the Holy Spirit, what is he like? He's the Spirit of the Lord. He represents God to us. If we need wisdom, he'll manifest himself he's a spirit of wisdom. He's also a spirit of understanding. He enlightens us to the Word of God. That we take time and study. The Spirit of counsel, he shows us our options and our best ways to go. This is the way, walk in it. Counsel and might. Sometimes I'm so tired, and my tiredness doesn't matter at all. The Lord can give you might. In any form, he can give you mental might. He can give you might of the soul, which is the mind. He can give you might for your body. He can give you might for your spirit. And the spirit of knowledge. He can give you knowledge. He can give you a book. I'm talking about in a moment. I've experienced this before. The Lord can show you something in an instant and you understand what it would take to go to school and learn. That doesn't happen often, but it can. And in the last days, which we're at, it's going to happen more so. And then the spirit of the fear of the Lord. See, all these manifestations help us. If you need knowledge, well, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But see, if your focus is on this world, and the world system is ordered by Satan, if your focus is on the world, then that kind of knowledge or that kind of focus is anti-God. So, If you fear the Lord, you'll drive out the darkness of the world. We have to do two things in receiving salvation. We receive salvation, of course, but we also not only repent, which is to turn from sin, that's the first step, but we drive it out of our lives. But as we receive the love of God, we drive out the darkness. That's all we do. That's what we do. But see, when people allow the darkness, remember the darkness is leaven, and the leaven is contrary, and it causes people, our lives, to be contrary against God. It causes us to doubt instead of in place of faith. It causes us to waver instead of walking and following Jesus. It causes us to waver, go back and forth, living in a state of unsettledness. That's what the world does. But when you drive it out, those Philistines, Canaanites, Amalekites can't work anymore. See, sin of itself, sin without a host, is nothing. You have to have a living being to receive the concepts of sin and carry them out. Then they become a spirit, that even a human spirit, that agrees with darkness. That's what kind of spirit they become. But the problem is they're not as malicious as the fallen angels or the demons, which are disembodied spirits. A long time ago, and people teach all kind of things. With that being said, when the sons of God married the daughters of men, they took whichever one they chose. Whatever women they saw, they were fair, and they married women. Now, when they did this, the offspring were giants without covenant of God. That wasn't God's intention. But what were these fallen angels doing? They were attempting to corrupt mankind and mess up. They was trying to prevent Jesus from coming. Once Satan understood that the Son of Man was coming, the angels went out. The fallen angels, of course, not the holy angels, but they once were holy, but now they're fallen. They're under Satan's control. They took his bait. They swallowed his hook. And so they married the women that they wanted the most for their purposes, with the intent that these giants would disturb mankind, and it worked. Think about it. Nobody dies for a very long time in those days. Men lived to be 900 years old, easy. Now, Methuselah is the oldest man recorded, and no man from Adam could live 1,000 years. There could have been people that lived older than Methuselah, but they only recorded two lines, the line of Cain and the line of Seth. Well, guess what? Adam had other sons and daughters, but they only followed those two lines. And I know, then all of the children had lines, you know, but they followed these two lines. And each time they had children, and it always said, and they had sons and daughters. Even the ones that were listed, they had sons and daughters. Now, if you live 1,000 years, a man and a woman can have children every 9 months. So, and sometimes twins, triplets, quadruplets, whatever. Sometimes twins. Many believe Cain and Abel were twins. And so you could have a multitude in a very few short years as people continue. So this is what I'm getting at. Out of all those people on earth, only 8 people survived. So the giants of old, they were like the men of old, men of renown. The only reason I'm bringing this up is to show you what you're fighting. And I'm going back to what God gave me. In Genesis 6, it said, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, daughters were born to them. that and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. God had to shorten our life. Because why? Because we proved we couldn't be faithful living as long as we did. Then verse 4 says, There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. What does that mean? This is the pre-flood population. Before Lucifer's flood, I'm not talking about Noah's flood. That flood was a flood that got rid of these things, these abominations that God didn't make. See, they were hybrids of angels and men. So every country has stories of giants, and we look at it as the Greeks, the Olympians, the Titans, in America, the Indians had encounters with giants. It was a known thing. But the Vatican and the Smithsonian and things like that hid this information from modern education. But guess what? They're not in control everywhere, but they try to be. So now we got what we call YouTube, and people take pictures of things like that. Big giant skeletons that they dig up while they're doing excavations, and see immediately the Smithsonian come and take it. And now, why would they do that? Because they want people to believe another narrative. But this is actually what happened. And if there's giant bones, there's evidence. Bones last a very long time when it's smothered in soil. So there were giants in those days. And then, but it says they became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. So God told Adam to replenish the earth. Why? Because the earth once was full of people, and they were like that. They became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. Now the giants were like the pre-flood were. They were very smart. They were not like cave trolls, you know. They were not goofy. They were highly intelligent, hard to kill. And if you read the story, if you read verses chapter 7 and 8 closely, you'll notice that before the rain came, the great deep had to break up. Why? So that the ground would become soft and trap them. Then it rained so they could drown. Then the rain ascended over the highest mountains, 15 cubits above the mountains. Why? Because people don't know this, and people that know about giants, they teach this. Giants live in tunnels, and they live underground, and they have tunnels throughout the mountains, so they had to be suffocated. Now, that's what you're fighting. That's where your evil thoughts come from. That's where thoughts of modern-day homosexuality, fornication, adultery, witchcraft is taught by them. All these things. But the reason it's kept quiet is some people are in league with it. Now, I remember Steve Quill said that lust is the desire of demons on humans. See, lust is something that God didn't make. God made love. And he gave us the tree of the knowledge of good and evil so we could reject something good. You know, what belongs to others. We have to reject that. You can't accept that as your own unless they give it to you. And then when it comes to marriage, you can't, if you're already married, you can't take somebody else. I know they did it in Old Testament time. There were laws for that. But Paul taught that a bishop could only have one wife. And that's the American model. And it goes back to the beginning. That makes the most sense. And it's less confusion. Everybody biblically written in the Bible that was recorded, that had more than one wife had confusion in their home. Every time. There's no way out of it. If you read that story, they had confusion because that was not the best way to do things. But God had a protocol for the things that he did. And he knew the hearts of men. He allowed some things. But nevertheless, what God did in the first place is the way to go. Always. That was always what God did in Genesis should be a standard of life. And it works better. And everybody that try other stuff, they get jealous of people that do it God's way. Every time. And if two people come together and their heart is to do God's will, they receive his word in their heart, they portray a life that everybody desires. But see, the enemy takes shortcuts. Well, shortcuts cause problems. See, the Lord said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. Well, if you do things in that order, if you do things in an orderly fashion, you won't have chaos and trouble in your life. And you don't have to hurry because you don't depend on things to make you happy. We're complete in Jesus. If people would learn to be complete in Jesus, then they can learn great things. And see, being fruitful. What is being fruitful? In our time, it didn't just mean have babies. But see, if you think about it, before you have children, you need to be educated. You need to have knowledge, the knowledge of God. If you receive God's likeness, now God took a lot of time to show us that everything produces after its type. So what kind of person would you like for your children to be? Well, that's the kind of person you need to be. Because those little lives record everything. It's not just what you teach, which is wonderful if you teach the word of God, but it's what you live as well. Your mannerisms. Do they see you praying and seeking the Father when you have trouble? Do they see you believing God through Jesus Christ, praying prayers for other people in his name, in Jesus' name? The way you live and what you teach goes hand in hand. That's training. And both parents need to do it. And see, couples that do this and practice the ways of God, they don't have to beg their children to get saved. Their children will desire the kind of life that they live. I desire the life that my parents live. It was some things I wanted different, but I wanted to be married to somebody I could trust, like my dad trusted my mother and my mother trusted my dad. So I used a lot of discretion when I got married. There was a lot of girls I was interested in, but I knew that it wasn't going to work. So as I got older, I understood it's not just how much you love them, but will they love you the same way? If you love like Jesus loved, if you love your wife like Jesus loved you, will your wife love you like Jesus loved her? So that's very important, because a life, you don't know, you're going to live a long time. And marriage is supposed to be forever. The marriage of God is forever. So people want out because they drift away, or they get married without being settled. So people do all kind of things. Even Billy Graham said, if you want a marriage to last, you got to first marry the right person. And who can show you that but the Holy Spirit? This counsel, knowledge, might, wisdom. He'll give it. He wants to have a relationship with his people. Then we won't make so many mistakes. And when you make mistakes, then God can, he knows what to do next. So you have to seek him if you make a mess of things. And then solve the situation his way. Don't use your own knowledge on that. Okay, now I'm going to get back on the path I was on. I went all the way around the world to show you that those giants that you, the evil thoughts come from those dead giants. That's where demons come from. See, God didn't, that's a hybrid of angel and humans. They can't go to heaven, so they can't go, they don't just go straight to hell yet. They roam the earth giving people, causing troubles and giving people evil thoughts and crap like that. Now, Hosea 6 says something very interesting. And if you follow Jesus, you'll be able to overcome everything. I don't like the way people leave out certain things in their doctrines, because the facts always remain, whether they're good or evil. Just like the Holy Spirit came to guide us into all truth, that need to be happening. And a lot of churches don't teach that anymore. They read the scripture, but they don't expound it on it. And then the giants, they cause, nobody know how, where they came from. You know, very few preachers actually teach where they came from, how they came to be, and why, and what they came to do. If you remember Goliath, when he talked to David, he cursed God. He cursed God, and he was a giant. Those evil, they are called evil spirits. Why? Because they hate God. If you hate God, you hate life. You hate life. You want debauchery. They have a bloodlust for evil and lust and all kinds of, in every way. They don't just take what's given. They take everything they can. And that's, it's a consuming mindset that God has nothing to do with. They don't like God. So, if you know your history, you don't have to repeat it. Why do you think all these tribal cultures dress up in feathers and dance around fires? They were bullied by giants at one point. And they still do, you know, they were taught to fear those things. Well, when the giants went underground, when the gospel spread, that's why they vacated. And it's a new form of deception. Now, if the gospel didn't spread, they wouldn't have went nowhere, because they could bully man. All right, now we're getting back on track again. This is the point I wanted to get to. Hosea 6 verse 1 says, "Come, let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up." What does that mean? Before God can introduce Jesus Christ, wars happen. Israel, God made a covenant with Father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He changed Jacob's name to Israel. So the covenant is now with Israel. The same covenant that he made with Abraham. And the same promise he gave Adam in the garden when he said the seed of woman will crush will bruise thy heel will crush his head. So the seed of woman is Jesus. But in order for Jesus to come, the Lord had to make a covenant with people, covenant people. He had to make an agreement with Abraham. Abraham gave Isaac his only begotten son of promise, and that sealed the covenant. So God promised that he would give his only begotten son to rescue man out of this cruddy world we live in, full of fallen angels, demons, people, and mad witchcraft and all this stuff, all the madness. Jesus had to come. So if you think like a soldier, a warrior, Satan wanted to stop Jesus. That's why he sent the fallen angels to sleep with women and to raise up a rebellion that men didn't have. That's the logic of dead religions, false religions, witchcraft, lust and greed and pride. Those things are anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-God. So he did this to stop Christ from coming. Every war that was ever fought was to stop the knowledge of Christ from coming, from going forward. Every war, even in other cultures. If there were people that was too loving, another tribe would raise up and kill them and fight them. And they had to fight. Every culture had to fight. So God made a covenant and he had to keep it. So there were external enemies against Israel, and then there were internal enemies against Israel. This is why he had torn and he will heal us. God always had a remnant to bring forth healing. He has smitten and he will bind us up. Why people in the world think like the world, they do worldly things, and God has to resist them in their pride. But then when they come to a point that they see the light, then he can heal us again. It was always God's will to heal not only the Jews, but everybody. See, God told Abraham, if you look at the promise, he said that he would be a father of nations, and that he would bless every family, all men, not just the chosen. And God is good to the just and the unjust. Give us sunshine and rain. And he rewards those that do right, even if they're lost. Okay, now, verse 2. Jesus came. He says, after 2 days, he will revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up. See, Jesus rose up on the third day, and we shall live in his sight. So when you believe on Jesus, you're at the zero line again. You're beginning to live. Now watch, for this is what I really wanted to get to. Verse 3. Then shall we know for ourselves, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. All right, look at this. Let's examine this a bit. If we believed on Jesus, we got saved, and a lot of that's the goal of many churches, but then they stop. But if we, but we shall know if we follow on to know the Lord. If you follow on to know the Lord, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth, according to what Jesus said in St. John 16, verse 13. If you follow on to know him, you got to want to know. He said, knock, seek, and ask. You have to want it. You have to treasure his word, which if you do, he's going to fill you up with his word. And you don't have to get swallowed up by Satan's jungle, fallen angels, principalities over nations, demon spirits giving you evil thoughts, crazy thoughts, cause stirring up strife. See, when there's envy and strife, there's confusion in every evil work. If you don't want evil and strife in your life, confusion in every evil work in your life, get rid of envy and strife. You know, Kenneth Copeland said, two of our greatest weapons is love and forgiveness. So everybody that did you wrong in the past and as you live in the present and even in the future, forgive them. Be ready to forgive people that do you wrong, and fight the good fight of faith against the demonic spirits, which is truly behind it. This is why God gave us spiritual warfare weapons, and they are mighty. Our weapons are better than natural weapons. It may not look like it because our weapons you can't see. But see, you can use your weapons of faith, and you can stop wars. You can stop floods. You can stop tornadoes. You can stop Satan. You can stop Satan's activity among people. I've done it before. It works. It works good. See, then we should know if we follow on to know the Lord. I learned those things from the Lord as I followed on to know the Lord. And I listened to men of God that knew the Lord, like Kenneth Hagin and others. And God had all kind of, he did a lot of great things through people. And he always has a remnant of people that trust him. Now, the world speak evil of dignities. But don't let your ear be a garbage can. Don't let people tell you anything about anybody. Go take things to the Lord and pray. If you hear negative things about people, you understand, if they love God at all, Satan wants to slander them. So what people say against people or things you've heard, take it to the Lord, and the Lord will give you truth. And the Holy Spirit will guide you in all. If people are really doing things sinister-wise, the Holy Spirit know how to show you so nobody gets hurt. See, when we do things God's way, we're going to have to get used to doing things God's way, and then our life will work properly. Then we shall know if we follow on to know the Lord. And that's a choice you got to make, even after you believe on Jesus. This is the choice you got to make at this point. His going forth is prepared as the morning. He already has a plan. People want to know God's will for my life. What is his plan for my life? See, if you follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning. Just like the morning is full of order. There's an order to the sunrise and everything that happens in the morning. And he shall come unto us as the rain. He will nourish us with whatever we need. As the latter and former rain. That's how crops come. The former rain gets it started, and the latter rain helps it finish. And he'll give you everything you need in between, the Holy Spirit. All you have to do is knock, seek, and ask. And you will know. Now, Daniel said, what happens to people that know the Lord? They'll be strong and they'll do exploits. Not people that are covenant saved, but people that are saved and they know him. And you can't know him unless you're saved. So knowing God includes salvation. It's not just covenant salvation. It's not just agreement with God, but it's knowing who he is as a person. And the Holy Spirit came to guide us. See, the 12 was taught by Jesus. Actually, that was more that was taught with them. Because when Judas fell, they had two more to choose from. That started at the beginning and was taught by him. But Paul came later on. Now, Paul got his training. He got taught by them. Then he had to depart because nobody trusted him. Now, the people, they learned to trust him, but a lot of people didn't trust him. And the Pharisees wanted to kill him. The Jews wanted to kill him because he was once a Pharisee. And that really provoked their pride when he became a Christian. So he had to get out of town. And, you know, I don't know. I know he was once married. I heard that anyway. But his wife may have left him because of this. I don't know. But I know how life is. Sometimes when you decide to follow God, people you confide in, they may turn on you. Nevertheless, that being said, he had to leave. And now when you study Galatians, he was trained by the Holy Spirit for 3 years, 3.5 years. He was trained by the Holy Spirit. Then he came back and he became one of the most outstanding men of God to ever walk the earth. But in that time anyway. Now, all these men of God did their part. And see, that's what's so beautiful about knowing God. You do your part. And, you know, it doesn't mean that one is better than another, but he was outstanding. And I thank God for him. And he wrote much of what we... I'm learning now, but I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you, God.